What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Big bank earnings are in. What they can tell us about the state of the economy.
Executives talked a lot about how confident the consumer is, and they all said, look, we're back to pre-pandemic levels here. People are spending like it's 2019 again. This isn't just the recovery. This is back to normal for consumers.
And the IRS has started sending out child tax credits to millions of Americans. Plus, is a master's degree worth it? We'll help you find out. It's Thursday, July 15th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Tens of millions of U.S. households can expect to see the first monthly payment of the child tax credit today. Mostly through direct deposit, the IRS sent families up to $300 per child. The credit is worth $3,000 for children ages 6 to 17 and $600 more for those under 6 over the course of a year. The aid is part of an expansion of coronavirus relief aimed at combating childhood poverty. Here's President Biden speaking in Washington today.
I believe this is actually a historic day. Historic day in the sense as we continue to build an economy that respects and recognizes the dignity of working class families and middle class families. It's historic, and it's our effort to make another giant step toward ending child poverty in America.
Monthly payments will continue through December, with the rest being credited to this year's tax returns. Congress is debating whether to continue them beyond this year. Jobless claims continue to fall and hit a new pandemic low last week. The Labor Department says new applications for unemployment benefits declined to 360,000. Unemployment payments made through regular state programs also declined. Nearly half of states have said they'll end expanded benefits of $300 a week before they end nationwide in September. Another setback for Biogen's Alzheimer's drug Aduhelm. Two large hospitals say they won't administer it. The Cleveland Clinic and Mount Sinai Health System in New York made the decision amid a debate over the drug's effectiveness and whether the FDA lowered its standards in approving it. A Biogen spokeswoman said the company stands by Aduhelm and that patients denied access to it should contact the company. The FDA approved the drug in June over the objections of some of its own statisticians and an outside committee of experts. Earlier this month, the FDA narrowed its recommendation, saying the drug should only be given to those with early-stage symptoms of the disease. And overseas, dozens of people are feared dead and many more are missing after the worst flooding in decades to hit Germany, Belgium, and other parts of Western Europe. Days of heavy rain have caused rivers to swell and overloaded sewage systems. At least 40 people have been killed in Germany, where hundreds of homes have collapsed. The floods coincide with a bout of severe heat and drought in parts of the U.S. and Europe. Our Germany correspondent Bojan Pinchevsky has more.
I've spoken to a climate scientist who said it's always very difficult to link individual events to climate change or to a bigger trend in the climate, which is an extremely complex system, obviously. But what happens is that the temperature is rising demonstrably and lands are getting drier. And as water evaporates from the surface of the earth, it fills up the atmosphere. And in a kind of cyclical response, then we get more rain and more severe rain of the type we've been seeing in the past couple of days.
Coming up, what this week's big bank earnings reveal about the broader economy.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
All this week, we've been reporting on big bank earnings. Besides giving us some insight into the health of the nation's largest financial institutions, the results can also tell us a lot about the overall economic recovery, from mergers and markets to consumer spending and borrowing. Joining me now with more details is our banking reporter, David Benoit. Hi, David. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, David, now that all of the big banks have posted their quarterly reports, what can you tell us overall about their results?
Sure. So bank results look pretty great. Profits are up a whole bunch, but that really has to do with last year. Last year, they were taking a lot of their revenue and putting it away in case loans started going bad, and that didn't happen. So they've been able to kind of boost their profits this year pretty much across the board. But then they see lots of pockets of strength in consumers and in corporations. They're starting to do better. I think they're all ready for a bigger uptick in the coming months.
So let's break this down across economic categories, starting with consumers. What do this week's bank earnings tell us about how consumers are spending and borrowing?
So they tell us that the consumers are doing a lot more than they had. And it's actually a really interesting picture. So what we're seeing is spending in the last few months, particularly picked up in June. People are using their credit cards to go out to dinner. They're using it to go travel. Everyone's ready to be free of lockdown, right? So people are really racking up their credit cards. But the really interesting part is they're so flush with cash, whether because they weren't spending money last year or because of the government stimulus, that they're actually paying off those credit cards. They're not carrying over the debt. So we're seeing this divergence that we don't normally see in banking, where spending is up even on credit cards, but loans just aren't growing. People have enough money and they're paying it off and are confident. And then the other place we're seeing a lot of consumer strength is in housing and in autos. We've all seen the stories about, right, it's hard to buy a used car right now because everyone wants an auto. There are some supply chains issues going there, but executives talked a lot about how confident the consumer is. And they all said, look, we're back to pre-pandemic levels here. People are spending like it's 2019 again. This isn't just a recovery. This is back to normal for consumers.
Let's talk a little bit more about the housing market. We've been covering this for some time now and just how hot the housing market is. And for some buyers and renters, that means facing intense bidding wars. Rates are also historically low, which has encouraged buying. But how's the mortgage picture right now?
So the mortgage picture is looking pretty good. Originations is the number we kind of look at a lot to see kind of how people are doing. Both JP Morgan and Wells Fargo talked about originations being up a whole lot. Like you said, prices are up. They're starting to get a little bit worried about whether this continues. But for the last 3 months, at least, things were really strong in the housing market for sure.
Another big theme to come out of this week's bank earnings is the capacity for deal making, especially at JP Morgan. What can that tell us more broadly about the economy?
I think the interesting thing about this is, right, both JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs posted record fees from helping companies do deals. And what that shows us is that corporate executives are just as confident as we were talking about consumers are. They're out there spending. They're ready to transform. We heard the banks talk about, look, every business needs to figure out like the post-pandemic world for them. They need to redo their supply chains. They need to figure out where their people are. And that causes them to need to spend money and need advice. And that's where the banks are coming in and getting a lot of work.
On a bit of a down note for big banks, despite mostly strong results this week, they did report declines in trading revenue. Is that likely to pick up in the coming months? What's the forecast?
That is the big question in banking. No one quite seems to know the answer to this. So it's probably not going to pick up too much. The issue is like last year, right around this time was when the markets were kind of totally haywire and people didn't know what to make of the economy. So trading was just off the charts. They're not going to get back to that. The question is where does it level out? It's still been coming down, and the banks all like to use this term, normalize. It's getting back to pre-pandemic normally levels. It's unclear whether it stays a little bit elevated from that. If it goes down, everyone's got a different opinion. We'll see.
That's Wall Street Journal banking reporter David Benoit. David, thanks so much for your time today.
Great. Happy to be here, and thanks so much for having me.
And finally, a lot of people see a master's or other higher degree as a path to a well-paying job. But an elite degree can come with a hefty price tag. The Wall Street Journal looked at federal data showing the amount of debt students take on and how much they earn a couple of years after graduating. Some graduates are finding themselves left with more debt than they're making at work. To find out how various programs at the nation's universities fare, the Journal created a tool that allows you to compare typical earnings to debt load. Here's our reporter, Andrea Fuller, with an example of how it works.
We have an example that kind of walks you through of two programs that are in the same county, Los Angeles County. We've got USC, an expensive private school with a high median debt load, and we've got Cal State Long Beach, a public school with much lower debt. What's interesting about their public health programs, both have a master's in public health, is that the median salary after graduation is the same, despite the disproportionate debt burdens. So our tool allows you to see other examples like this. You can look up lots of different programs and see which ones are worth it or not. And you'll see different trends and different fields that most programs, regardless of where you go to school, pay off in business and engineering and other degrees compared to other programs that are leaving students in high debt no matter where they go.
You can look up the debt-to-income ratio of hundreds of bachelor's, master's, doctorate, and professional degree programs on our website at wsj.com. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.